Today is the 12th of November 2020. We are reading from Acts chapter 7. We have Pastor Joshua preaching. Morning to you all and peace be with you. Today we read Acts chapter 7. When we read a book of Acts, we must understand its paragraphing. So it can start all the way from chapter 1. Gospel shall be spread from Jerusalem, all Judea, then Samaria, and then the end of the world. So Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then all the ends of the earth. And the disciples shall be witness to the Lord in all this. That's the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit will spread the gospel. When I heard this sharing of Dr. HK, so it's like the prequel and the sequel. This is the prequel and the sequel of Jesus Christ after the book of Luke. So book of Acts is the sequel, the part two of the life of Jesus Christ. Or I should say that about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is now in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is on earth. Jesus work on earth through the Holy Spirit. How does he work on earth through the Holy Spirit? Is by the disciples. So when we read the book of Acts, you read a lot of things about people. That's the disciples of Jesus Christ. Through them, the gospel will be spread from Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the earth. That's why Apostle Paul really wants to take the gospel to the ends of the world. If regardless of his situation, his circumstances, however difficult it was, however hard the world is, the gospel will be spread. I'm really touched by saying this. Because today, we are in like an extraordinary time. Whatever the political system, whatever the financial system, whatever situation, In adversity, in pandemic, because adversity and pandemic sound similar in Chinese, but the gospel still needs to be taken to the ends of the earth. By who? Who does Jesus share this? It's through the Holy Spirit on every one of us. In whatever situation, the heart of God will be fulfilled. The gospel will be spread to the ends of the earth. To us, the gospel will be taken back to Jerusalem. That's our mission. What do we need in the midst of this whole process? Whatever the situation, it desperately needs the vessel that is ready to be used by God in whatever situation. So this chapter, we can see Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr. He wasn't the first. Jesus was the first martyr. In the New Testament, in the Gospel, Stephen was the first disciple being martyred. So today we read the chapter 7. We must see from this chapter that God can use us too. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, God can still use us. We need such vessels to be used by God. So from the life of Stephen, we need the guidance of God. what lessons we should learn from his life, what things we should learn. The title for today is The Glorious Revive, the glorious vessel that brings revival. God needs a glorious vessel. Today, you and I should be like Stephen, to be a glorious vessel, that his faith, I'm not calling all brother and sister to be martyred. No, that's not my purpose today. If necessary, we give our all. We should not plan for that. That's not something that we... This is the last straw. This is our last measure. But there is a... We have our boundary. The bottom line is we want to follow God and testify to the Lord. So 60 verses in chapter 7. After paragraphing, then we will... Then it's not that long after paragraphing. I want to tell you the importance of chapter 7 right here. When we read the book of Acts, we must know how to do paragraphing. When I read the chapter 6, verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So for the Chinese Union version, basically they give like a marking that is the end of after chapter 6, verse 6, it's like a full stop. That means it's a paragraph. It's the end of a paragraph. If you were in the expository preaching, then you know. But then verse 7 is like by itself. And then from verse 8, the Chinese New Year versions, it's like the third paragraph. So verse 7. It's the whole book of Acts, the first paragraph of the whole book of Acts. And it's also it's the end of the first paragraph, the beginning of the second paragraph. It's a summary here, a short summary, is that the word of God spread in Jerusalem. So you know the gospel spread in all Jerusalem. To what extent? The number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The gospel was spread in Jerusalem. Even to the priests, to the Levites. They were obedient to the faith, to Lord Jesus. So Jerusalem was in revival, entered into revival. So the gospel started in Jerusalem. Now the whole Jerusalem heard of the gospel. That's the end of the first paragraph of the whole book of Acts. Okay, the second paragraph is to the Judea, the whole land of Judea. So that's the beginning of the second paragraph. So chapter 6, verse 8 is the beginning of the second paragraph. And it talks about Stephen, a glorious vessel. How did the gospel spread from Jerusalem all the way to Judea, all the land of Judea and to Samaria, is by Stephen, this glorious vessel. So verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, he was full of faith, he was power and did great wonders among the people. Verse 8. He did great wonders and signs. Great wonders and signs. So he was just like Jesus. He brought forth wonders and signs. He was full of faith and power. So he stirred up the whole crowd in Jerusalem. So he was caught to the high priest. They was accusing him that they blasphemed against Moses and God. That's the accusation. To stop him. So a revival was facing great battle. That's what Pastor Jason said. There is a revival, there is battle, there is revival. Facing such great battles, this vessel of revival must offer himself and entered into the battle. So he was caught. Okay, now chapter 7. Verse 1 to 53. It's actually very short. 53 verses. His glorious faith. The subtitle for this paragraph is glorious faith. So it's the glorious faith of Stephen. Verse 2 here. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. He testified for the God of glory. How? He talked about the faith of Abraham. Before that, he talked about the faith of Abraham. And then talked about Jacob, Joseph. So Abraham went to the land of Canaan. From Haran to Canaan, Jacob and Joseph went down to Egypt. He talked about the faith of forefathers, and God brought them out of Egypt. So Israelites should have faith. Descendants of forefathers, every one of us should be full of faith. Look at Abraham, look at Jacob, look at Joseph. Look at Moses. Going to Egypt. When they got to Egypt, Moses brought all the Israelites out of Egypt. The God of glory appeared to him in the burning bush. Moses was running away from his own people. He loved his people. He saved one of his brethren, one of the Israelites, but his brother could not take him. Who made you a ruler and judge among us? And he knew that he was being exposed, then he ran away for his life. For 40 years, it took him 40 years out of Egypt through the wilderness into Canaan. What did he have in exchange? Moses was a vessel of God full of faith, and he was leading the Israelites. God really highly praised Moses. Verse 37. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Verse 37. He did signs and wonders in the wilderness. He was a great prophet. No other prophet was like him, will be like him. God spoke to him on Mount Sinai. Verse 38. Now, people were accusing Stephen speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. But Stephen was telling them, this is how I think of Moses. He is, verse 38, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. But Stephen realized that, verse 39, whom our father would not obey but rejected, and in their hearts they would turn back to Egypt. Verse 39, then they worship idols. They forsook Moses and worship idols. And yet God brought them to Canaan anyway. And David was had the heart to build a sanctuary for God. But it was Solomon who actually built God a house, verse 47. That's how, man, we forsook, rejected Moses. Moses, such a great prophet, someone that who was highly regarded by God, he passed on the word of God to others. And Stephen was saying that, I really affirm Moses. That's what Stephen was saying. But look at, from the history, we know that our forefathers forsook Moses. Oh, Israelites, what about you today? So he said here, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your forefather did, so do you. Your heart always resists the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come, but you do not believe, and you resist Him. As your fathers did, so do you. Your father rejected Moses. As your father did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your father not persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One? You killed Jesus. You now have become the betrayer of a murderers who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Verse 52, 53. And Stephen was saying that I testified to Moses, the Just One, the Just One. I affirm the word of God, word of Moses. Who blasphemed Moses? Who's blasphemed against God and Moses? Who? As your fathers did, so do you. You are the same as your fathers. You resist the Holy Spirit. You betray the Just One and even murder Him. You do not obey the law given by God to you. Moses was sent by God. He preached, he shared the word of God. You make covenant with God, but you do not obey. You even kill the prophets, persecute them. You killed those and killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. Verse 52. The Just One means refers to Jesus. You killed Jesus as well. You receive the law given by God, but you do not obey them. You killed Jesus who was coming as in the prophecy. Do you believe the word of God? You do not. Do you believe the word of Moses? You do not believe. Here, Stephen boldly testified to Jesus, to the truth, to the Holy Spirit. That's the glorious faith of him. I will show you, I will demonstrate it with a picture. At the time, people were slandering him, trying to kill him. They were in complete darkness. They opposed Jesus. They resist the Holy Spirit. And yet, this glorious vessel, Stephen, he became a giant standing tall among them. Spiritual giant. Then from him radiates a glorious faith of God. He becomes a glorious vessel. God wants to use such a vessel. Everyone opposed Jesus, killed him. Holy Spirit comes. Everyone rejected him. But he's still standing firm. And Stephen continues to testify to the Holy Spirit. He was greatly used by God. Remember in chapter 6, that talks about that he is full of faith, full of power, did great wonders and signs. At such a time, when everyone was opposing God, did not obey the word of God, that's the time, he boldly said so. Oh, Israelites, you did not obey the word of God. May God forgive us. In this generation, in this world today, there are lots of things we cannot say. We cannot say. As soon as we say it, we will face persecution. And we dare not to say it. Same-sex move, we dare not to say much about it. We dare not to say. But if we dare not to voice out, we cannot be the glorious, we cannot be a glorious vessel. We dare not to say because we are afraid. We dare not to say something that is against the will of the crowd, before a crowd. We even want to follow the crowd. We lose our status as a church. We cannot be like Stephen. When people were doing wrong, when everyone was disobeying the law, and he bluntly just point out, standing firm and say that you disobey the law, and telling everyone, he was in such a danger. He was taken into Sanhedrin. But he dared to say it. Today we are not even be taken to Sanhedrin, but we dare not to say much. I don't know how to carry on at this point. But you understand what I'm trying to say. When I say anything here, people will just take it out of context. Whether I share something in the service or in morning devotion, I'll be attacked. People will take my word out of context. I encourage myself, encourage all my children. When it's the time to say, in the final moment, we need to say. Now, the second paragraph of chapter 7, verse 54 to 56. Glorious sight. Here, three times it says, behold. There are different words. When they heard these things, they were cut to heart and they gnashed it at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And verse 56, and said, look, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Verse 54 to 56. Gaze, the first sight, gaze into heaven. Gaze. There's a gaze without blinking of eyes. There's the first sight. Gaze into the heaven, full of the Holy Spirit. After saying that, he gazed into heaven. And the people were gnashed at him with their teeth. But Stephen gazed into heaven. He didn't look at people. He gazed at God. As he gazed at God, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Saw the glory of God. So the Chinese, they have two saw the glory of God and saw Jesus. But in the English, there is only one saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, look, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Here, look. Discover, discern and discover. Let's look. As he gazed into heaven, the first sight, the second thing, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The first thing he said, I saw, look, I discern clearly that Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus. As he saw Jesus, what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell us, this glorious sight. He saw the glory of God, the glorious God, the glorious Lord. And he himself became a glorious vessel. He became a glorious Jesus because the spirit of Jesus was him. He became a true Christian, true follower of Jesus. And that a believer that brought revival. How did gospel spread to all the land of Judea and Samaria? It took such a vessel. It required such a vessel. He had glorious faith, glorious sight. Without glorious faith, without glorious sight, God gave him power. That's why Stephen was absolutely fearless. His eyes, his heart connected totally with God. Connected to the glory of God. Then the temporal, the lightest suffering will consider as nothing. Hearing me saying this, who said so is from Apostle Paul. That's from Apostle Paul who said that. We can see so Stephen himself was full of God's glory. His eyes, his heart connected with God. He was on earth, and yet his heart was already in heaven. He faced all this. Now the third paragraph, 57 to 60. The glorious grain. If a grain does not fall to the ground, die and fall to the ground, you know, it stays as a grain. But if it dies and falls to the ground, it will bear much fruit. This is the mystery of kingdom. That's one of the parable of Jesus. I don't have much time to talk about it, but here Stephen was martyred. Pay attention to verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. So here they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, just like this, just like when Jesus was taken out of the city and being stoned and being crucified. Here they cast him out of the city. They were going to stone him. How? Normally, it's like when they're trying to kill this person, someone will push him down, so that his face fell face down on the ground. Pushed him, and then he fell face down on the ground. And the first person did that. The first one who pushed him, before he pushed him, he would say, declare the charges. Okay, what charges against him? Maybe they blasphemed. He blasphemed the word of God, the word of Moses. That's the charges against Stephen. He deserved death. And there are witnesses. He's one of the witnesses. The second witnesses, the first witness pushed him, right? Pushed him, he fell face down. The second witness will say that, I testified all the charges against this person. And got a stone and stoned him. Stone him with one strike. If he didn't die on the first strike, all other people, those who agree, they will run at him with one accord and got the stone and then stone him to death. That's what it means when they cast him out of the city and stoned him. That's what Stephen went through. Verse 58, that's what happened to Stephen. These witnesses, before they doing this, before they killed Stephen, all these witnesses, they need to use a lot of forces. They need to take off their clothes, all their clothes, and they lay down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. So Saul should be quite young, so he was like, you know, watching. He was not qualified to have the stone and stone him. But he can watch over those the clothes of those who stoned Stephen. And he saw who were the witnesses. He participated in the whole thing. He was pleased that this happened to Stephen. Saul. these witnesses took off their clothes and then laid down their clothes at the feet of Saul and then stoned Stephen to death. Saul participated and he was pleased to be part of it, to see how this accomplished. A grain dies and falls on the fruit and bears much fruit. God was calling this Saul, this participant, that participant who was delighted to see this happen, to arise and continue the journey of Stephen and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Something that verse 58 emphasizes. You don't know the work of the Holy Spirit. On the first place, we don't understand why Stephen had to be martyred. Lord, you God, you are powerful. Why did you not protect Stephen? He was full of faith. He is such a great vessel. But God's thoughts is not ours. If we follow God, we must be prepared for this. When we follow Christ, when we live, we follow Christ. When we die, we follow Christ. Following God is beyond the time we have on earth. Death is not our bottom line. We try not to cross the line ourselves. That's the first preparation we must do. The second preparation, we must believe in God. You see what happened to Stephen, and you think, why did God happen? Why did this happen? Why did you let Stephen die such a horrible way? He's such a good person. Among the four overseers, he was the greatest. He was the first one. He was full of faith, full of power. He did great signs and wonders. But God's thought is higher than ours. Why did Jesus die? We always ask. Disciples didn't want Jesus died. But why did Jesus die, have to die? There is meaning to it. Because he died, it saves many, many people. God used him as the atonement, Lamb of Atonement. Why did Stephen die? We don't know why. But God has his own plan. Stephen is like a grain, just like Jesus. He brought forth the revival of God's kingdom. Then we can see how God works in the life of Saul. Then God graciously used Saul. God's fault is not our fault. No one can fathom the heart of God. So we must trust and believe. This is the faith of Stephen and the value of his life. God considered the death of his saints much valuable. He didn't just sacrifice anyone randomly. When anything happens, God has his perfect will. We must believe. May God help us. Brothers and sisters, today we are in extraordinary moment. Whoever takes the office of a presidency, whatever the circumstances of the economy and pandemic, together let's arise. We become a glorious vessel. Our hearts closely connect with God. And follow him and trust him. Amen. That's the end of our message today.